Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today, the text for our sermon on this day where we remember St. James and St. Philip comes from the gospel reading on John 14, when Philip in verse 8 says, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." So what is an apostle? We see that designation there on the front of our bulletin. What does the word apostle mean? Can you define it? Somebody might say, "Hey, I know you're a Christian. I know you go to the best church in all of the state of Texas. So you surely know what an apostle is. Tell me, what is an apostle?" In our reading, St. Paul says the church is built on the prophets, the message of the prophets and apostles. So what, dear Christian, is an apostle? Well, we'll talk about that today. Apostle, it's a Greek word. It means sent. Not just sent as sending a card or something, but sent with authority. So today is the day the church remembers two of these apostles. We remember all the apostles because they were selected by Christ himself. The apostles have this designation of apostle because they were sent by Jesus directly. They were sent with his authority. And it's nice to have it on this Sunday because last Sunday, on the second Sunday of Easter, we heard Jesus say, "As the Father has apostled me, so I apostle you." Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whoever sins you do not forgive, they are not forgiven." Now that's a pretty big task if you think about it. But notice how Jesus begins when he sends them to forgive sins or not forgive sins. He breathed on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. It's important to remember that part because it reminds us and teaches us that God desires to give his Holy Spirit to strengthen his people, to complete their vocations, to be faithful, to take the tasks that God gives them and to go forward, not bashful, not out of fear, but in strength and in confidence that God will sustain you. The apostles were sent with authority. They were sent with the Holy Spirit to accomplish this great task that Christ laid upon them. But the word apostle, even though it is a Greek word and does mean to be sent with authority, it has its roots actually in Hebrew and even in the Old Testament. In Exodus 3, the Hebrew version of this word, apostle, was used when God came to Moses in the burning bush and he said to Moses, "Come, I will send you, I will apostle you," the Hebrew version of it, "to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But right away, Moses replied to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and release Israel out of Egypt?" Moses was right. Who does he think he is to be able to go to Pharaoh, to make such a request, to speak on behalf of God, as if it were God standing there speaking to Pharaoh himself? Even Moses himself said, "God, I'm not a good public speaker. I'm kind of bumble around," and you know, he's probably just looking for a reason not to do what God called him to do, but nonetheless, God still sends him. And after Moses' reply, "Who am I?" God has a reply for him. He continues, "I will be with you. This shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." God said, "I will be with you." This was more than just a generic "via con Dios, Moses." It was more than just "go with God" or a nice thing to say. When God says, "I will be with you," he says, "I am giving you my authority. You will speak on my behalf to free my people. You will declare my word because it is by my word that I get things done. This is how I work." Moses speaks on behalf of God to free his people. So it doesn't really matter what Moses' personal accomplishments were. It doesn't matter how long or how good of a resume Moses had. God came to him directly and gave him his authority. God has always desired for his people to live by faith in a promise that they would be freed from slavery. They would arrive at this very mountain. God promised them this, and it happened. So too the apostles today, particularly Philip and James, they were sent with authority. Jesus said, "As the Father apostles me, I apostle you." They were sent with a specific authority to do a specific thing. Again, to free God's people. Like Moses, like all the prophets, like all who God sends to his people, he sends them to declare his word. An interesting translation note about this Hebrew word for sending. The scriptures are also translated this word sending. It's also used when God says, "I stretch my hand forward," or "I stretch my hand out." So in a very visible way in Hebrew, this is why Hebrew is a beautiful language. In a very visible way, God's hand goes out and it works through those that he sends with his authority. And he uses his hand to free his people. So we come today to two specific ways that God extends his hand, that he sends forth his hand to free his people, Saints Philip and Saint James. These two were directly sent by Jesus, just like Moses and the prophets, and just like Jesus was sent by the Father with his authority. So we call James and Philip, we call them apostles. Now, you notice I don't call myself an apostle. I am not considered an apostle because I'm not directly sent by God. I am called and ordained by God through his church. I'm not an apostle because I've not been immediately or directly sent by God. I can't claim to say God spoke to me and told me to be your pastor. I can't say that Jesus appeared to me as he did to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. But we pastors are seen as being in the apostolic line. We are sent by the same Christ for a specific duty. God has chosen his pastors immediately or indirectly through the church. In Ephesians 4, Paul says he gave to his church some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as shepherds or pastors and teachers. The distinction is that apostles, prophets, and evangelists are sent directly, or what we call immediately. Pastors, we are sent indirectly, but it's still the same source. It is he who gave them, St. Paul says. The source is Christ and all these offices that God gives his authority to free his people. Also, you heard in our epistle reading today from Ephesians 2, Paul writes that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus being the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the epitome of the apostles, the epitome of all pastors, the one who is sent, who then sends as he sees fit. So how do God's people, how throughout all the ages, does God's people know if someone is claiming to have received a direct sending or an immediate sending from God? Well, this was, of course, a problem in the Old Testament and still a problem today. Jeremiah in the Old Testament, he warns us that there will be people who claim to have been sent directly by God. Jesus himself in the Gospels, he too, particularly in Mark, he says, "Beware of false prophets. They will come and do miracles in my name, but they do not teach the truth." Jeremiah the prophet said, God said through him, "The prophets that are among you are prophesying falsely in my name." I did not send them. I did not command them to speak. In Deuteronomy 13, then, we're told how to test this. God says, if a prophet arises among you and predicts a sign or a wonder, and what he says comes to pass, and then he says, well, let's go after other gods, let us serve them. He says, you shall not listen to that prophet. So if someone teaches falsely, if someone teaches contrary to what God's word says, even if they do miracles, God says, do not follow them. I did not send them. So the greatest rule for determining if God has sent someone, whether it be directly or indirectly, is to judge them by their teachings. What do they confess? What do they say? Where do they lead us? This is how we can then say that pastors are indeed apostolic, if their teachings agree with the scriptures. Now, we're not called apostles in the sense of being sent directly by God, but we do preach the same message. This is how we know if we're receiving someone sent by God. Does their message square with the scriptures? Are they following the guidelines that God lays out for his sent messengers? Now, should we expect apostles? Should our pastors be able to say, I heard God speak to me? I get the question all the time. Pastor, how did you know that you should be a pastor? And a lot of times, it's people are expecting me to give some sort of grand story. I was in my room one morning, I was reading my Bible, and I was praying for all the sinners, and God came and spoke. No, we're not promised that. We're not told to expect this. We have no indication from the scriptures that we should expect God to call those who he gives his authority directly. We can see this, that the apostles themselves didn't believe this to be the case. They didn't expect God to send more apostles. Otherwise, why would they have prescribed the church the ways in which to put men in the office of pastor, what we call ordination? God has, through his apostles, established a indirect call or a mediated call for God's pastors. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy, if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, what we call pastor, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer, a pastor, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. So the apostles themselves begin to line out the way in which God is going to keep sending men with his authority. And notice that St. Paul doesn't say, if anyone desires the office of apostle, you cannot bring that on yourself. And this is already established by God coming directly. But now he sends pastors with his authority through an indirect or mediated call. But the purpose is the same, to free God's people from their sins, from their burdens, from the difficulties that the devil throws at us and we sometimes walk into ourselves. We are called as pastors to give what Christ won on the cross with the authority of God, to give forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. God calls pastors to forgive sins, but also to retain sins, to use his word and sacrament on behalf of the church, because he knows that we need to be freed from our sins. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be freed from our Egypt of death. God gives ordination as the mediated proper call into the apostolic doctrine. This, though, is not the special property of us pastors. All Christians confess apostolic doctrine. but not all are sinned. 1 Timothy 4, St. Paul reminds Timothy, he says, do not neglect the gift given through prophecy when the other pastors laid their hands on you. And further, then later in 1 Timothy 5, St. Paul says, when you are choosing pastors, don't lay hands on someone too quickly. Test them. See that they teach apostolic doctrine. So St. James and St. Philip, who are they as apostles? Well, St. James is maybe not the James you're thinking of. St. James today is James the Lesser. How would you like to be known as James the Lesser, or Bob the Lesser, Frank the Lesser, right? It's not because he taught any less. It's not because he was less important, but that he was younger. He was known as the younger one, James the younger one. Now, this is opposed to the James you might have been thinking of, who were studying in Sunday school. James, the brother of our Lord, who also wrote the epistle to James. James the Lesser is also the one who's designated James, son of Alphaeus. That's it. That's all we know. Mark chapter 15, he's called James the Younger. Now, this is good because it teaches us his personal resume is not important, except that he was sent by Jesus, and he didn't give up the faith. He stayed faithful to the end, even in the face of intense persecution. St. James the Lesser stayed faithful. So he is a model for us to follow. Now, St. Philip, today we know a little bit more about him. He's not Philip the Evangelist in Acts, who baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. Today's gospel reading is Philip's most famous line, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. He sounds so humble, right? Oh, I don't want too much, Jesus. Just show us the Father, and that's enough. Jesus gently rebukes him. He points out, he says, Philip, when you see me, you see the Father. Jesus has been and always will show us the Father. If we sin and are unrepentant, the Father says, no, you are not forgiven. But if we sin and confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us, will free us, will give us the benefits that Jesus has won. And that, for Philip, was a learning experience. Just as Christian doctrine is, for all the saints, we are always learning, always lifelong confirmation students. We should be lifelong students of the Word. We know very little about Philip and James. But like Philip, we should learn to petition Jesus. Show us, Lord. It is fitting for us to remember them, that their personal resumes aren't that impressive, that they're not unimportant. But the important thing is that they were sent by Jesus. In fact, they're not mentioned with great fanfare at all, except the church gives them the greatest honor that could be given. They remained faithful apostles, disciples of our Lord. They did not give up the faith. So today, St. Philip and St. James Day is... This day, May 1st, is selected because their remains were transported to the Church of the Holy Apostles in 560 AD. Church has been celebrating this day since 560. We should follow Philip's example. We should always ask Jesus to constantly show us the Father. When we ask to see the Father, we're asking to see what he's done for us in sending and apostling Jesus to die for our sins, and then to give us the assurance that he continues to send that forgiveness to us, not because our resumes are so great, but because his love for us knows no bounds. We ask to see Jesus more clearly, to see the promises given in baptism and the Lord's Supper, our greatest treasure, apostolic doctrine, that which the church stands or falls, and we should defend and stand up for this at all costs. That is where we see Jesus. That is where we see the Father. Look how many times, just in our short reading today, Jesus encourages Philip and us to believe. 6 times in our reading, he uses the word believe. Not just a generic sense, but to believe that forgiveness is yours. That eternal life belongs to you. What do you have to fear? So no matter how difficult life may be, no matter how hard-pressed we are by evil on all sides, don't give up. Don't give up the faith. See Philip and James in a long line that we too will stand in, not as apostles, but as faithful where God has called us because he gave us the Holy Spirit. God sends you out. He gives you the Holy Spirit, not by breathing on you, but by baptism, by the Lord's Supper. This is how he equips you to be faithful where he is sending you. Alleluia, Christ is risen.